Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night Vespers. Please join me in the Confession of Sin, which you will find beginning on page 120. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us. According to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant the unity of the godly and righteous and sober life to the glory of Your holy name.
The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for the versicles.
Thank you.
may be seated for tonight's lesson. Our scripture reading for this evening is the gospel reading from this past Sunday, the gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 14. So when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of these lepers, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years ago, when my daughter was 3 years old, she was getting to an age where she was getting very confident in herself and felt that she didn't need her parents around. And there were times when we would be, let's say, at a mall or someplace shopping, and she would wander away from us, and we'd have to chase her down and bring her back. And she didn't always like that. She wanted her independence. And one day I decided just to see what this would be like and let her go. And so I let her walk away from me, and I snuck behind pillars in the mall, and I walked without her seeing me for quite a distance. And she was fine, seemed fine, a little three-year-old wandering through the mall. But then all of a sudden you could see it started to hit her that she was alone and she didn't know where we were. And as soon as I saw fear come over her face, I came rushing out from behind one of the pillars and said, "You see, I want you to stay with me." I wanted to teach her a lesson. That little three-year-old is sort of a picture sometimes of how we can be. Sometimes we can end up going through our lives sort of carefree and imagining that everything is fine and there are no real problems for us. Living here in the United States, we have many, many blessings around us. And it's easy for us to sort of slip into that self-confidence about things as well. And sometimes we can forget that many of the blessings we enjoy and even the safety or maybe the health or whatever that we have in our life is still a gift from God. Martin Luther used to say we should imagine ourselves standing out in the middle of a field with 100 angels in a circle around us with their arms locked, holding back all of the evil forces that would seek to destroy us. He says, every once in a while, God may allow one of those angels to step aside and let an evil angel come in to attack us in life that we have to deal with. And then we wonder if God cares about us, but he still has 99 angels holding back all the forces of evil that could just destroy us and crush us. And there are times when God may allow us to go through difficulties and trials in our lives in order to keep us mindful of the fact that he is the one who is always in control and to whom we should always be looking. The lepers in our text, these 10 lepers, are a good visible reminder to us when we think about how difficult their lives probably were and the conditions of their bodies and having to live out away from everybody. It's a kind of a good reminder to us of how frail our human condition can actually be here in this life, and how somewhat desperate we can really be, even at times maybe when we don't think about it and know about it. I was just out to look at our soccer field the other day, the brand new field that we're going to be using in a couple weeks. What an exciting day for the college that will be to see our team finally out there. And the stands will probably be filled that day with all of these young people, healthy young people looking out at that field. But right across behind that sits the Mayo Hospital. I think of how many people, some of them even young, how many people just this week probably had a visit from a doctor that dramatically changed their life, had to hear some type of news about their condition. Sometimes I know for myself I can start to feel pretty bold and arrogant and self-confident about my life when things are going well, and forget about that God is ultimately the one that provides all of that for me. Because our generation has been so blessed, and especially here in the United States where we have such wealth around us, it's very easy for us to be tempted to think, well, who needs God? Who needs God? Look at my life. Life's going pretty well. Even Christians can be sort of tempted to forget the need we have for God and His work in our lives. In this sin-ridden world, with chaos and disorder that can be all around us, there are many, many little warnings that God allows all of this to use to keep us mindful of our need for Him. How quickly our lives of prosperity and comfort could change if He decided. How quickly we could be rattled to the very center of our core. How suddenly the chilling presence of death could actually come into our families. How quickly man can change from being so confident and strong and lowly to suddenly just very weak. Years ago when I was a pastor up in Minneapolis, I had a delinquent member I was supposed to go call upon. And I went out to visit him. He hadn't been coming to church very much. And we had visited him now a couple times a year for about 4 years in a row. And he finally said, "You guys need to leave me alone." He says, "I want to stay a member of the church. I'll come a couple times a year, but just leave me alone. And just let me stay a member of the church." About 2 months after that, I don't know exactly when, but 2 months after that, he gave us a phone call. He had received some medical news that dramatically now changed his situation, and he called for me to come and visit him, and I went to his house, and I remember he said to me, he started shaking and crying, and he said, "I didn't think I needed God, and now, boy, do I ever realize how much I do." When the lepers in our text probably first discovered their disease, would have been interesting to know where they were at in their lives. Would have been interesting to know how things were going for them. And then to think how dramatically that changed their life. But we see them here pleading for mercy. "Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy upon us." And they cry out to Jesus, who probably appeared like any common traveler going by that day. And here, though, God stands among them in normal clothing, the clothing of a traveler, a carpenter's son. Doesn't look like very much to the human eye. Just like I'm sure the day Jesus went into the house of Jairus when his daughter was dead on the bed and went to her side, I'm sure people thought, "Who is this guy? He's just seems like your average mourner that possibly came into the room." And when he announced that this little girl was simply sleeping, people laughed at him. Christ doesn't appear to be so great. His kingdom, likewise, doesn't appear to be so great. It's operated by faith. It's mocked and laughed at by the world. It appears to be insignificant and little. Seems to have no real power, no real control over anything, no real effect over anything. And yet, as we see in our text here, hidden inside of this Jesus of Nazareth is the Almighty God Himself, the very one who has come to conquer death and all the opponents that the devil can throw at us, all of the assaults of evil that the devil can throw at us. And wherever you find people in the world crying out to Him for mercy, crying out to Him for His help, His heart turns toward them. His heart is awakened by that. Jesus shows His power in this text over Satan's kingdom by just speaking His word. His word alone is what cures these men. We don't have any sense that He gets close to them to touch them or anything. He doesn't send any type of lightning bolt at them. All He does is He speaks. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And we have many examples like this in the ministry of Jesus, to the deaf and dumb man, to the dead man of Nain. He just speaks his word. But that word of Christ, just like Jesus himself, doesn't look like much, doesn't seem like much. And yet God has taken and packaged all of his almighty force and power into that word in such a way that he can pull off this amazing miracle. It's that wonderful, powerful word of God that Jesus himself used in the temptation with the devil to chase him away. Where his word is, and where it's used accurately, there his power is, and there is Christ, there is God, there is all the force of heaven. That's why Jesus said about his word to his disciples, "The words which I give you, they are spirit and they are life." In preparation for tonight, I was looking back at some times that I've preached on this text before. And one that really caught me was about 4 or 5 days after 9/11 took place that same week. And the looking back and reading through that sermon, it was interesting to think of what was on people's minds that day. And in that sermon, I had referenced something about a man who was in one of those towers in one of the staircases. And he said it was so filled with smoke, he was covering his face and his eyes as best he could as he was trying to get down to safety, which he finally made it. But he said in the darkness of all of that, you could hear somebody saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What a comfort we have that our gracious God, who has all power over death itself and all power over any condition that we can have in this world, that he is on our side and that he is with us and walking with us. And what a compassionate heart we see here with our Lord Jesus to turn and help these men in this very miraculous way. So by faith tonight, join this humble leper and all of God's kingdom, and place yourself, your very life, at the feet of the Almighty God, the Almighty, gracious, and compassionate God who has granted us heaven, and let us continue to cry out to him our whole life, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.